Good morning. We're reading here in Esther chapter 1, and we're going to pick up in verse 10. The first nine verses talk about the huge party that Ahasuerus the king had for all his nobles and all everybody in the city. And then it gets interesting here in verse 10 of Esther chapter 1. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded his seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. Just shows you how wealthy, and one could say decadent, the court was there, that he had seven guys to run a simple errand. Well, they ran the errand. And their errand was, verse 11, to bring Vashti the king before the king, Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Yeah, Vashti was a little uppity. She didn't realize all her wealth and her servants and her wine and her fancy part of the palace she lived in. She didn't realize that was by the pleasure of the king. She thought she herself had enough clout that she could just ignore the king. And there may have been times in history where that was the case, but it was not the case at this time. So the king wanted Vashti to come to his banquet just because she was very beautiful. And he wanted to brag about what a beautiful wife he has. Verse 12, but the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, very angry, and his anger burned into him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner towards all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena, all these guys. These were the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. So he sent his chamberlains to get the queen. When she wouldn't come, he went to the seven princes for advice. In verse 15, he said, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan, one of the seven princes of Persia, answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. Verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. When it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. So this prince of Persia, Memucan, thought it was a very dangerous precedent, because if the queen didn't have to obey her husband, then none of the women would obey their husbands, and their whole society would fall apart. That was their view. And in that culture, in that time, that made sense. Obviously, we have a slightly different culture today, and this would not be treated in the same way, but in that time, in that culture, that's the way it was looked at. Verse 18, likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Verse 19, so this advisor continues. Verse 19, if it please the king, in chapter 1 of Esther, verse 19, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws. Verse 19, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medians, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. In other words, the queen has all these benefits, you know, land and housing and servants and food and drink and all sorts of things. Well, he says, let her royal estate, all of those things, be given unto another that is better than she. Verse 20, when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is very great. What did it say at the beginning there? He reigned from India even unto Ethiopia. That's a long way. That's basically all of what we consider the Middle East, because, you know, India is, you know, east of, today it's east of Iraq, it's east of Iran, it's east of Afghanistan, so that whole center part of Asia, and then all the way to Ethiopia, which, as you may know, is in northeast Africa, so that goes all the way through what we consider the Holy Land, the Middle East, and into parts of northern Africa. Looks like it would probably even include Egypt if it goes to Ethiopia. So, huge kingdom. Huge kingdom. Okay, let's go back to where we were. Verse 20, and when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. Sort of making an example of the queen, so that all the other women would know, you better watch out, you better obey your husband. Verse 21, and the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan, for he sent letters into all the king's provinces, and every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. So they had to send a lot of decrees and a lot of languages by messenger, think of it, from India to Ethiopia. Today they could have sent an email or a Twitter, but back then we even have Google Translate to translate. They didn't have any of that, so they had to have many scribes who know many languages translate it and send it by messenger. So verse 1 of chapter 2. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women. That's what we call the harem, where all the women, wives, and concubines that belonged to the king lived, to the house of the women, under the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. Because remember, the Assyrians, who were followed up by the Medes and the Persians, conquered Jerusalem and took almost everybody as a captive to Babylon. Now, Babylon was part of those Middle Eastern kingdoms, so a lot of the Jews obviously ended up in Shushan, didn't stay right in Babylon. It'd be like if you, took a bunch of people and captured them and took them to New York. Some might wander up to Boston or down to Philadelphia. Same country, just a different city. So, verse 5. Now, in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Remember, Saul was the son of Kish. So, he was in the same basic bloodline as Saul was. Verse 6, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Yeah, it was actually the Babylonians, sorry. The Assyrians was 200 years later with Samaria. So yes, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, carried him away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. So I don't know what you'd call that, a second cousin maybe? But she was basically sort of like his uncle, her protector. She was his ward, we might say. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Verse 8, so it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. So let's see. Talking about the grace of God, let's think about how many Old Testament laws were broken here. First of all, you weren't supposed to consort or talk or hang out with people of other nations because they'd drag you away after their gods. So by cooperating, they were breaking that law. And then, of course, you weren't supposed to have any kind of sexual activity until you were married. And they broke all that because she's going to go in and have sex with the king when they're not married. And even so, you're not supposed to marry people from the unbelieving nations. So that's a third law. So breaking all kinds of laws. But God seemed to overlook that. And that's what people don't think about when they think about the grace of God. They just want to call out a rule and say, you broke the rule, so you're going to hell. Or God won't answer your prayers or pick anything you want like that. Well, she's breaking all kinds of rules, and so is Mordecai. But in the situation, it seems to have been the right thing to do. Verse 9, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. So the keeper of the women already liked Esther and favored her and gave her extra stuff. Verse 10, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So that's another thing. I'm not sure they're lying, but they're certainly keeping it quiet. But God doesn't seem to be bothered. And Mordecai, verse 11, walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the women. See, these people were not in a hurry for anything. Remember, the king had a party for 6 months? Now it took 12 months just to clean her up. Get her, you know, skin oils in there so she looked and smelled nice and all the things they did for beautification. It took 12 months to get her to the place that they could send her to the king. So verse 12 again. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months of oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go out with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women. So they lived in one place when they were virgins. After they'd slept with the king for a night, they went to the second house, to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines, because then there were concubines, because they'd slept with the king. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. So many of these women went, slept with the king one night, and then spent the rest of their lives in the harem, as a concubine. And again, to us, that seems cruel, it seems slavery. Maybe it was, but that was their custom at the time. I'm sure they were very nicely taken care of, but that's what they did. Verse 15, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. So she wasn't all picky, expecting special treatment. She just went in with whatever the boss man in the harem suggested. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Verse 16, so Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his royal house in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. So this took a few years, because remember, his big party that lasted 6 months was in the third year of his reign. So it took about 4 years to get rid of the previous queen, gather a bunch of young virgins, and eventually Esther's turn comes, because remember, it takes a whole year for just for her purification. So he had the 3 years of his reign, the year of purification, that's four, and there were another 3 years that something happened, that they were getting organized for all this. So they didn't rush into this. Verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he sent the royal crown upon her and made her queen instead of Vashti. Wow. For a poor orphan Jewish girl, that's quite an accomplishment. She's now the queen of Persia. Then the king, verse 18, made a great feast unto all of his princes and servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Now Esther, verse 20, had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. So two of the king's main guys wanted to kill the king. And the thing was known to Mordecai. Mordecai hung around the gate and learned things. Who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of Chronicles before the king. And in chapter 4, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes. Oh, wait a minute. I think we skipped chapter 3, sorry. Verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. So he liked Haman, and he promoted him as like the top of his advisors, of his close people in the court. Verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Now, I don't know if this was because Mordecai felt he should bow to no one but the true God, or if he just didn't like Haman. But for whatever reason, he didn't bow. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them he was a Jew. So these guys knew Mordecai was a Jew, and they knew he wasn't bowing to Haman, and they told Haman. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then Haman was full of wrath. And that's what happens with a lot of guys who think they're really something. Anybody does anything to not show respect, and they go berserk and do crazy, outlandish things. Verse 6 of chapter 3, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. It's not enough to get revenge on Mordecai. He wants to get rid of all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, so now this is 5 years after Esther has become king, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus in verse 8, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer, to allow them. Verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand, gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given unto thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people, of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against this day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. They didn't have any idea what all this meant. Verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment, clothing, to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak, the chamberlain, came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his, to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, now read this. This is very important. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And that is a great key to life. If one thing doesn't work out and one person doesn't come through for you, God will come through with something else. Verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's amazing how these things work out, how things change. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I mean, what was the point of her being chosen as queen, if not to do some great thing to save her people? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai to this answer. So Mordecai said some very profound things. Now the queen is going to say some very profound things too. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. And that's what is needed in life many times. I'm just going to go do it, and if I die, I die. But at least I'm going and doing what I believe is right. Verse 17, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass, verse 1, on the third day, that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, this next part's so funny, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And you see, Esther, she's not in a hurry either. It amazes me the time, the patience, and the planning these people put in. She just didn't go in and blurt out her request to the king. She said, come to lunch. And now they're at lunch, and the king is saying, what do you want? So verse 6, the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? It shall be granted thee. What is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. So she clearly has great favor in the eyes of the king. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, verse 8, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Verse 9, then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with a glad heart. This is the funny part. When Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, verse 10, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. Now look at this. Haman told them of the glory of his riches, the multitude of his children, all the things wherein the king had promoted him, how he advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself, and tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. That's 75 feet. That's like a 6-story building. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. On that night could not the king sleep. This is where the plot thickens. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the doors, who sought to lay hand on the king of Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. He has not been rewarded for saving your life. Now this gets funnier and funnier. Verse 4, and the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, verse 7, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the royal crown which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all thou hast spoken. Then Haman's heart fell. He realized at that point he was toast. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. They saw the handwriting on the wall. Haman had, in a sense, backed the wrong horse, and he was going to lose. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlain, and hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of queen of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted unto thee? What is thy request? It shall be performed even to the half of my kingdom. Verse 3, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I had found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. For if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, he's sitting right there. The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. Well, I guess so. Verse 7, the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw, that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed where Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Let's see, I think we're in chapter 8. On that day, let me see, we're just in chapter 7. Let me double check. Yes. Now in chapter 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Haggite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and it be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him have they hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Verse 8, Write ye also to the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, to the lieutenants, the deputies, rulers, provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, sealed with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, camels. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. So, the previous notification from Haman had said, kill the Jews on the 13th day of the 12th month, and here we are in the third month, changing that and saying that the Jews can get together and kill all their opponents. Verse 13, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves of their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and every city whithersoever the king's commandment and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. I figure it was politically correct. Oh, the king likes the Jews now. I better become a Jew. 3 months ago, looked like the king didn't like the Jews. Now he does. Wow. Esther chapter 9. Now in the 12th month, that is in the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandments decreed drew near to be put in execution, the days that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, those turned to the contrary, the Jews had rule over them that hated them, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all provinces of king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. And all the rulers of the provinces, lieutenants, deputies, officers of the king, helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this Mordecai waxed greater and greater. By the way, the word wax means to grow, the word wane means to decrease. So they talk about the moon waxing and waning. When it waxes, you have a bigger moon. When it wanes, you have a smaller moon. Verse 5, Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And then all of these people in cities. Verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman and Mattatha, the enemies of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. On that day the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther thy queen, The Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Then said Esther, If it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to this decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done, and the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. for the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also the month of Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hands. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew their foes, 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, on the 14th day of the same, rested the day and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and made a good day in ascending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman the son of Mattathah the Agite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against them to destroy them, and had cast poor, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore these days are called, wherefore they called these days Purim, or lots, after the name of Pur, which I believe is still a Jewish holiday today, at least it was for a while. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Habihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter of Purim. He sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the king, of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their appointed times, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of fastings and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. In chapter 10, just to sum up. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, wherein the king advanced him, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Well, quite a record, isn't it? They clearly, Mordecai and Esther, certainly walked with God, whether it was revelation or them simply just doing what they felt they needed to do to protect their people. And like I said, they broke all kinds of Old Testament laws about consorting with unbelievers, marrying people that were idolaters, having sex when they weren't married, all kinds of stuff. Yet God overlooked it. Because the greater truth was to protect God's people. And that's the thing that people miss today in the grace of God. They just want to follow their rules and don't see the bigger picture about loving God and trusting God and God providing for us. So that's what we'll continue to study and work on, our great studies of the grace of God. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for all you provide. May we have a great week ahead, trusting you. May the Dundons have a wonderful holiday in Hawaii. And we thank you for taking care of us, our loved ones, the other believers we pray for, and just being able to walk with you every day in your love and grace. Thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.